In the U.S., if a corporation wants to sell its shares to the public at large, then it must register those shares with the Securities Exchange Commission. This registration statement, also known as Form S-1, must contain many pieces of required information, including detailed financial statements and descriptions of the company's governance structure and business model. This form must also list all the material risks to investors of investing in this particular company. Once the SEC is satisfied, the agency declares the registration effective, and shares may then be sold by the corporation to the public in an initial public offering, or IPO, usually on a national exchange like the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. From then on, the issuer must file periodic disclosure documents with the SEC. The IPO process is lengthy, it's expensive, and it opens the corporation up to fraud liability for any material misstatements or omissions. So, why do companies go public? The biggest reason is money. Though most IPO companies previously raised money through private investment, an IPO can provide much more capital. In addition, an IPO provides a public market for shares already owned by the founders and employees of the company, which can't be sold to the general public until they are registered. Registration allows insiders and early investors, such as venture capital funds, to cash out and reap the rewards of a successful startup. This month, when Facebook went public, its founder and CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, was able to put a price on his stock and cash some out. That price was $19 billion. So, how is this price determined? In the months leading up to the IPO, bankers hold meetings called roadshows, where they invite institutional investors like mutual funds, pension funds, and insurance companies to promote the offering and solicit provisional bids for shares. From these bids, bankers determine the initial offering price. Though one would suspect that bankers would choose the highest price investors would pay to collect the most money for the corporation, studies show that most IPOs are underpriced and see the price rise the first day as initial buyers resell to new buyers, making profits for themselves and creating a first-day pop. Though this shortchanges the issuer, the media sees the pop as the mark of a successful IPO. Ironically, the much-anticipated Facebook IPO did not have a first-day pop. Shares opened at $38 and closed only 28 cents higher. And over the next week, the price dropped slowly but steadily. Theories abound as to why. It was a bad day for the markets generally, the NASDAQ had technical problems that delayed the IPO by 30 minutes, and online markets trading pre-IPO shares under an SEC exemption may have stolen the IPO's thunder. Further clouding Facebook's debut, lawsuits were filed last week against Facebook and its bankers over disclosure problems with the IPO. Whether Facebook will become a part of the social fabric or go the way of MySpace and AOL remains to be seen. But remember, when Google debuted at $85 a share in 2004, its price fell to below its closing price over the next week. Pundits declared Google's IPO a failure because of technical glitches and disclosure issues. 3 years later, in December 2007, those shares were worth $700. This is Christine Hurt.